God, we thank you. You who began a good work in our nation are bringing it about into completion. And we thank you for the freedom we have to gather and to worship, that you will be glorified. You are our provider. We love you. And Holy Spirit, we just honor you and welcome you to take this service and your message wherever you want to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm doing a series, mostly because I'm a long talker, and that's the only way I can get anything done. So we do series now. So the series I've done, this is my third week. Raise your hand if you caught my first message. We had a snowstorm. So if you were here, all the jeepers were here. All right, so I taught on Isaiah 61 and basically kind of introduced the concept, the foundation of our message series on Isaiah 61, which is really about how the Lord restores and makes Satan pay double for everything he steals, right? And then so that was Double for Your Trouble. My series is Devastation to Restoration. How many people are believing for that? For our nation, for our lives, for our careers, for our jobs this year. And last week, I did Divine Intervention on the life of Daniel. And this week is Divine Provision. And this is about the story of the children of Israel coming out of the oppression and the slavery of Egypt and coming out of that. So you guys can open up your Bibles. We're actually going to read together Isaiah 61. So open up to your Bible to Isaiah 61. And we're going to camp out in Exodus later. But Isaiah 61, so, you know, you can read a scripture and it can go in at one ear and out the other, right? But when we read it, we have to see it in faith. See it, use your God imagination to see that scripture come alive in your life and in your family, your loved ones, and the people around you. So we're going to read this together, and it's going to be on the screen, which is awesome. But I'll tell you this, if you can't always see on the screen, I'm going to say the word me really loud, and we're going to, like, point at you. So we're going to all say me together. Everybody got this? Let's catch. Practice. 1, 2, 3. Me. Okay. Here we go. All right. Isaiah 61. Now, when we read this, I want you to read it in faith over your life. I want you to see God doing this. So Isaiah 61, 1-2, and this is a scripture that Jesus announced in the New Testament, okay? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. For the Lord has anointed, qualified, and commissioned me to bring the good news to the poor and the afflicted. We're going to continue on. It says, he has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim the release from confinement. Everybody say amen. We're released from confinement. And condemnation to the physical and spiritual captives and freedom to prisoners. He has sent me to proclaim that the time of the Lord's favor has come in the day of vengeance and retribution of our God. So we're going to go verses 3-6. To comfort all who mourn, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities. They will revive them. And you will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. All right, verses 7-9. Instead of your former shame and dishonor, you will have twofold recompense. You will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land. And instead of dishonor and reproach and humiliation, your people will shout for joy over their portion. By the way, shouting for joy is not dependent on personality types. So introvert or extrovert, we shout for joy. Amen? Amen. Amen. Therefore, in the land, they will possess double what they had forfeited. Everlasting joy will be theirs. All right, 8-9, we're going to jump into the message. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing with violence and burnt offering. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering. And guys, I will say this, there is a suffering that comes with following Jesus. It talks about in the Bible about his goodness, his blessing, but it also talks about the fellowship of his sufferings. When you follow Jesus, there is a suffering that comes with it. There's a persecution. There are hard times. It happened throughout the Old Testament and the New, but God is faithful, right? And he will provide. It says, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and everyone will realize that they are the people whom the Lord has blessed. So please, if you have not heard message 1 and 2, You need that. It is the foundation of where I'm going. So please go back and listen to it. All right, so we're going to dive right in because I got lots to teach. Lord, I thank you. You guide my time, and I only say what you want to say. And we end right on time where you want to end. In Jesus' name, amen. Part three, right on your notes or in your cell phone, divine provision. And by the way, some people hear this and they shut down because they heard extremes and just crazy town left field on that word. And I want you to just throw that out of your brain because we're going to read the Bible, his scripture, and we're going to learn God's promises in a really clear line upon line, precept upon precept, scripture upon scripture kind of way, okay? Divine provision. So it is time to stand and watch God make a way. So I think, raise your hand if your job, if your livelihood, if your business or your income was affected in 2020. Yeah, for a lot of people it was. Raise your hand if you saw God provide for you despite that. It was really wild. Mom and I spent months just calling people because some people weren't able to come to church yet. And we were like, how you doing? And they kept sharing testimony after testimony of what Satan tried to do and steal their business, their income, and God was supernaturally providing. I see someone out here today that, I won't tell their story because it's their story to share, but they had their own, they owned their own business, and because of the stipulations with the shutdown, they were not able to work. And I know for a fact from this person that their clients called them and says, we're going to pay you anyway because we love you. Isn't that good? God is our source. He's our provider. Raise your hand if you've seen that in 2020. Well, guys, guess what? You ready in faith for double God's provision and recompense for everything Satan tried to steal? This is our year 2021, but you got to be in faith for it. And if you've already seen it in your life, I challenge you, you need to have faith bigger than yourself. Because some people get selfish with their faith, and they're only in faith for their us for no more. But I want you to be in faith for your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. Maybe you work for someone, and the owner of your business has been fighting fear, trying to keep the business open. I want you to be in faith for them. Amen? So this is a new season and a new era we are stepping into in 2021. And you can either believe the doom and gloom of all the fake news and the crazy media and people that just get paid to kick out drama to you, or you can be in faith and believe that God's word is faithful, and no matter what goes on in the world, he's going to do his thing, right? Because we do our thing, right? Because faith without works is dead. So we use wisdom, because you can't just sit in a hole and not go to work and you know, just, how do I say this? Charge up your credit cards and expect God to like do something in your life. You need to use wisdom, guys. Everybody say wisdom. There were some extremes that people were being dumb and lazy and not using wisdom. We have our part to do, right? And then God's going to do his part. We've got to be clear on that. Everybody clear on that one? Okay. All right. So I declare 2021 is the year, the set time, the favor of our God, where God is going to move on behalf of his people, and whatever is holding back what God has called you to do. God has called us to go into all the world, every career path, every form every social circle and every business sector, and represent Jesus Christ and bring love, joy, peace, healing, power, restoration, freedom, right? We are all called. We are all in full-time ministry. Got that? You don't need a pastor on your forehead. You are all called in full-time ministry. The Bible says that we are all called to the ministry of reconciliation. We are all called to tell people about Jesus and live not only with the fruits of the Spirit, but also with the gifts, the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you got to have love to pave the way for the power of God to move in their life. Some people come with one angle and they don't have love with it. All right, I don't have time to preach it. All right, back on track. Here we go. Yeah, all right. So whatever is blocking the restoration of your family, the resurrection of your business, your livelihood, the promises of God in your life, I declare it be removed and cast into the sea. Amen? 2021. God is commanding his vengeance. And by the way, when we talked about it last week, it is against Satan. It's not against people. He loves people, right? He loves people. And the ultimate vengeance of the Lord is that people would repent and give their lives to Jesus, right? I preached it last week. I don't have time. Okay. So I want to say this. So here's something, because we're going to talk about Abraham and also the children of Israel enslaved in Egypt. Okay. So the Bible is thematic. What does that mean? It teaches the principles of God from Genesis to Revelation. So everything in the Old Testament ties into the New Testament by the blood of Jesus Christ. So first of all, get really solid on the New Testament And then go back and read the old, and then your brain won't get all like wires crossed on that stuff. All right, so the Bible's thematic. It reveals the principles of God, his will, his mind, his heart, his character, his nature of a good, good father, right? And then it shows us by the word, it reveals how these principles can be applied in our daily life by faith. All right, so Galatians chapter 4, 13 through 14. It says, but Christ has redeemed us, rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. How many people have messed up and fallen into sin? Okay. Thank you, Jesus, that he has bought us back from the curse of sin and death, right? And it says, because he was hung on the cross and he took upon himself the curse of our wrongdoing, the shame. He paid the price for us. He took the bullet for us. He took the death penalty for us through Jesus Christ. And it says this, God has blessed the Gentiles. Gentiles are non-Jews. Raise your hand if you're not ethnically Jewish. Us, okay? With the same blessing he promised Abraham, so that we who are believers in Jesus Christ might receive the promises of the Spirit through faith. So if God promised something to Abraham, that qualifies us by faith. So listen, there's some really good stuff in the Old Testament that ties in with the blood of Jesus. All right, why am I doing this? Because you got to get that solid. All right, so the New Testament says this. When we accept Jesus in our life, we get spiritually adopted into God's family. Do you know the New Testament is just mind-blowing with the spirit of adoption? So in my family, we believe in the power of adoption. It is beautiful. And we adopt someone in that may not have been, quote, blood. And by the power of Jesus Christ, they are our blood, right? And they then have access to everything in our lives and our family because they are ours. They're adopted in, right? So we are spiritual descendants of Abraham, who had Isaac and Jacob and the children of Israel. We Gentiles, when Jesus died on the cross, said everything that I promised Abraham to, everything that he had access as a friend of God. Abraham was God's friend. They just hung out. He was not a perfect man. He made some big mistakes. We don't have time to teach it, but go back and read his story. He was an idiot sometimes, but he hung out with the Lord. And he says, you're my friend. We hang out. And I promise I'm going to take care of you. I promise I'm going to protect you and your loved ones, your family. I'm going to provide for you. So we inherit all the promises of God that God made through Abraham and his descendants by the blood of Jesus. But it is by faith alone, not because we're really good at being good. Power of the gospel. All right, Galatians 3:29. Now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. So we got to read our Bible. Find out what God promised to Abraham and find out how that applies to our life and believe God and stand in faith for those things. All right, because Hosea 4:1 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You know, you can have a loved one leave you something in a will, and if you don't actually read the will, you're never going to know what you inherited. So what if you got adopted into a family and you didn't go to the reading of the will? You wouldn't know what your spiritual inheritance is, right? So God says he is going to protect you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to take care of you. All right. So without a clear understanding of God's justice system, without clear teaching of what we receive justice by faith, without understanding the New Testament perspective of it, which I talked about last week, where we have to choose to love our enemies, to pray for those that despitefully use us and steal for us, right? Because God loves people. It's just the spirits behind the people. Right? And understanding that in God's vengeance, it is Satan that has to pay, right? All right. And also, once again, what is the payback? Compensation for damages. Double for your trouble, restitution and recompense. This is my review, I know. All right. So without a clear understanding of what the vengeance of the Lord is in a New Testament perspective, we will always remain victims in life. How many people Satan tried to tell you you're a victim once beside me? We are not victims, are we? Mm-mm. We are resurrected in Christ Jesus. Our lives will sing of his glory. In Christ Jesus, we always have victory in him. God is a God of love, and God is also a God of justice. When we have faith in God and that he's going to take care of us, that he will go before us, that he will provide justice in our lifetime, that active faith is what causes God to move on the earth and his manifestation of the promises of his hand of justice. Not us, bringing our own justice, right? Our part is to keep the switch of faith on. God's part is for him to uphold his word, right? God will uphold his word, and he will vindicate. So when we read a scripture like Isaiah 54, verse 17, where it says, no weapon formed against you, coronavirus or not, will prosper. No weapon that is formed against you will succeed. And God will silence every voice that comes up to accuse you. So someone accuses you of something and takes you to court, tries to sue you and take your business and take your family out. How many people ever faced a lawsuit against you where it was just baloney, just lies? Yeah, I know. Yeah. God is your defense. He's going to take care of it. It says, these are the benefits that are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication comes from me, God. I have spoken. So why is justice in our lifetime so important? If we do not see justice in our lifetime, people lose hope, they lose faith, and they crash and burn in despair and depression and fear. And fear opens the door for Satan to wreak havoc and pillage the earth in your life. That's where a lot of mental illness comes from. Just panic, fear, victimization, and just Satan destroys your life, right? So we need to stand in faith and forgive those that have hurt us, come against us, attacked us, try to take our business, try to hurt our family and our children, right? We forgive them and know that God's going to come in with justice, right? All right. So, Genesis 15. What was the promise that God made to Abraham? Because this is where we're going. And in Jesus' name, we have time. Genesis chapter 15. All right, I'm going to just blow through this real fast. I'm going to pick and choose some scripture for the sake of time here. Go back and read it. Genesis 15, 1 through 16, in the Amplified. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. This is before he renamed him Abraham. I am your shield, your abundant compensation and reward for obedience will be very great. Then Abraham believed in, trusted in, relied on, remained steadfast to the Lord, no matter what his circumstances and feelings were saying. Even when his wife is gone bananas, God's like, I still trust God. All right. Then Abram believed in, okay? Then this belief or faith in God was counted to him, credited to him as righteousness, which means I am right with God. God loves me. We're good. Okay? Faith. God said to Abram, know positively for sure that your descendants will be strangers living temporarily in a land of Egypt. That is not theirs, where they will be enslaved, afflicted, and oppressed for 400 years. But on that nation whom your descendants will serve, I will bring judgment, and afterwards they will come out of that land with great possessions. Then in the fourth generation, your descendants will return here to the promised land of Canaan. So what's going on? Abraham is a friend of God. And God gives his friend a heads up and a warning going, hey, some really rough stuff's going to happen in this nation and your family, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I got you. And you're going to come out of this. Amen. 2020. Don't be afraid. God's got us. We're coming out of this. And if we stand on the promise of Abraham that was also promised to us, what's it say here? It says, but on that nation whom your descendants will serve, I will bring judgment, and afterward they will come out of that land with great possessions, and in the fourth generation, your descendants, they will return to the promised land. He says, you're not going to go out empty-handed. For what Satan tried to steal from you, I will restore. We are not survivors and victims in life. He is our provider. God is our source. Did you know the government is not our source? Do you know your job isn't even your source? God is our source. So no matter what layoffs, you know, is coming through the pipes, no matter what people are fearing, oh, the business is going to shut down, no matter what they're saying about the economy or the stock market, God is our source. And when we trust him, he is going to not only take care of us, but he is going to provide what we need to take care of our families and go into whatever sector he has called us into in our careers and our businesses, right? Because he's called us into every social circle and every career path and every business circle. He's called us to go represent Jesus Christ and love and bring healing and restoration. So This also means, so part of God's justice system and his vengeance of the Lord is the fact that the Lord will give divine provision for what he has called you to do. So if he sent you to go move somewhere to some state and start up a business, he's going to provide for you, right? If he has called you to go to college or your kid to go to college, the Lord's going to provide for you. But we don't need to put our eyes on the government. Oh, the government's not providing for me. I didn't get my stimulus check. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Did you know the stimulus check is not our source? God is our source. And if your faith is stuck on the number on your stimulus check to make it, that might mean we have an idol in our life. God is our source. How many people have put their eyes on Jesus and God has provided? Right? He's so good. Okay. All right, 1 Peter 1:3. It says this, by God's divine power, God has given us everything we need. Everybody say that I need for life and godliness. Okay? We have all received this by coming to know him. When you spend time with him as your friend, not gimme, 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 but hey, I just want to hang out with you, God. You know, if you have a kid and all they do is like, Dad, I want $20, I want $20, I want $20. And you're like, will you just hang out with me? My dad would take us to the job site to hang out with my dad. My dad was, he was a great dad. He wasn't perfect. He was a great dad. And we'd just hang out. And he was busy because he was running a church and building houses. And we'd go hang out with Dad and we would sort nails on a job site for like 8 hours. And he would buy us an ice cream cone. And it wasn't about the ice cream cone. It was about hanging out with my dad. Come on, how many people had like parents like that where it was just, you know, you cleaned out the garage, you cooked. It was about the hangout time. And that hangout time just captures that parent's heart. And they just go, I got you, whatever you need. All right. So Abraham was God's friend. So it says, by coming to know him, the one who has called us to himself by means of his glory and excellence. So I want to say this, the God of the impossible, the way maker, the provider God, he makes a way where there is no way. Where the odds are stacked against you, God will come in like a flood when we have faith. He is Jehovah Jireh, which means what? My provider. He is our protector. We talked about that last week with Daniel, and he's our provider. All right, Isaiah 43 verse 19 says, for I am about to do something new, 2021. See that I have already begun. Do you not see it in faith? Not what the news is telling you, but what God's telling your heart. I will make a pathway through the wilderness, through the impossible, through a desert economy, whatever. He's going to make a way. And I will create rivers through the dry waste places. Remember this, faith is what moved God on the earth. Faith, not our emotions, not our like, I mean, you could just, listen, I love to like move and dance and whatever because sometimes you just got to break off depression by moving a little bit. But he is not moved by your show of your emotions. He is moved by your faith in God, right? God is always moving on the earth and he moves through his people. He is our provider. God is our source. But God is always moving by the power of the influence of the Holy Spirit to move people on his behalf. So when we have, we shared a testimony with Tammy and Andrew, when we have loved ones in our family, when they're even new to our family, in our church, and their house burns down, we, Holy Spirit, moves on our heart, right? God is our source, but he moves through people, and we give, and we bless, and he provides through his church, right? And then what happens? So Tammy said, and we just pay it forward. God took care of us. God blessed us. We're just going to bless other people. That's how he moves, right? So I want to say this, God has blessed you to bless other people. When God blesses you and all we do is increase our standard of living but don't increase our giving to those in need, we have made the gospel a selfish thing, and that does damage. It hurts his name, and it's not the gospel, right? God has blessed us so we can bless others. And I know you in stories, I could probably name about 3 stories of people in here that just God puts something on their heart and they go, there's a need. I need to help them out. I'm not just going to pray for them. I'm going to go drop off groceries at their house. I'm not just going to pray for them. I'm going to help them with this bill. I'm not just going to pray for them. I am going to go help get that person a job. Amen? All right. Oh, I have so much to teach. I have so much time. Amen. All right. All right. So God is always talking to us. He is always drawing at our heart to a greater purpose. But we can ignore it and get busy and get distracted. Or we can just say no. Because we make our lives sometimes all about us. Providing for us 4, no more, just our little family. But God wants to use you to help other people in his provision for the vision he's placed in their life. We are to sow and give and other people. Amen? So we can choose to ignore it and you will miss the greatest adventure in life. Life is messy. People are messy. But messy is fun. How many people have found out messy is fun sometimes? Messy is fun sometimes. All you little ducks in a row, color inside the line thing, that's boring. Okay? God will mess. So it's some messy people in your life, but that is the adventure. And that's how he uses you to bless you. And we get these adventurous stories, right? All right, so we're talking about Moses. So Moses was doing his thing, and God started tugging at his heart. Heart tugging. And he had a burning bush experience, and God saved Moses. Moses wrecked his life. He did some stupid stuff. I'm going to talk about it. And God recommissioned Moses and took him from a rejected exile murderer who was insecure with a stutter. And he took this friend of God and says, don't you worry about it. I am going to make your life so brand new, and your messy story is going to help so many people. And he took him and used him as a leader and a deliverer of a nation. And he was totally unqualified and totally a mess. And God wants to use us as an unqualified mess to help other people, right? All right, so Moses' origin story. How many people love a good origin story? I love comic book movies. So insecure, stuttering murderer to a leader of a nation. All right, so how did he do? Long story. He made some big mistakes. How many people have made some big mistakes in their life? Okay. Felt like your life was ruined. I felt like I made some big mistakes in my life, and my life was ruined. But look what God did with Moses. So Moses was born a Hebrew. We don't have time to read it, but go back to like Exodus 3 or something, or 2. I don't know. It's in Exodus. All right. He was adopted as a prince of Egypt. They have like really good cartoons about it. It's good stuff. Prince of Egypt. All right. And Moses had this heart tug, this passion inside of him that was actually, you know, God can give you a passion, but Satan can twist it into an anger. But he saw the oppression of the slaves of the Hebrews. And instead of selfishly distancing himself and just hiding in his cush life, right, he felt like he had to do something. He's a man of action. But Satan kind of got it twisted. So first of all, Moses was really not walking with God. He didn't really know God at that point. He didn't really know where to start, so he took matters in his own hands. Can I tell you, it is not a good place to take matters into your hands and bring about your vengeance. Revenge is not of God. I taught it later. Remember, I don't have time to teach it again. All right. So he made a huge mess of his life. Sometimes we try to force something. We try to make something happen. And we get way outside of God's plan and outside of his timing. We lose his character, which is love, peace, joy. All right. And the consequences of taking matters into your own hands, and Moses did it in a violent way, we hurt ourselves and we hurt other people. And there are very far-reaching effects. So Exodus chapter 2, this is the story, 11 through 15. It says, in the course of time, Moses grew up, and he went to see his own people, and he watched them suffering under hard, forced labor. We have a lot of slavery in American history. It's Black American History Month, okay? So I want you to think about what was in American society slavery and just make it times 10, just so you can kind of wrap your brain. It's the horrors that Moses saw and why it broke his heart, okay? And it says, he saw a Hebrew, one of his own people, being beaten by an Egyptian. He looked all around, and when he didn't see anyone, he beat the Egyptian to death and hid the body in the sand because he knew it wasn't the right thing to do. But he got caught up from passion to anger to violence, and he got in sin, okay? So when Moses went there the next day, he saw two Hebrew men fighting, and he asked one of them, who started the fight, why are you beating up another Hebrew? Why are you turning on your brother? And the man replied back, who made you ruler and judge? Aren't you going to just kill me like you killed the Egyptian? So Moses was afraid at that point, and he thought everybody had known what he had done. And when the Pharaoh heard about what Moses had done, he tried to have him killed. So Moses fled out to exile. And he's like, I have ruined my life. How many people have done something, you meant to do the right thing, and we totally thought we ruined our lives? Just lost everything. Okay, me too. Moses had good intentions, but he did it the wrong way. And he let his passion turn into a dark temper of anger, and the anger got the best of him. So at the age of 40, he went into exile. And when he should have started seeing breakthrough in his life and things were going good, he just lost everything. How many people went through a season? Even 2008. Man, I remember the last economy crash. Okay, whew, tough. But God's so good. He's so good. And by the way, Moses had a major rejection complex because, you know, felt not good enough for his own blood, his Hebrews, like maybe got rejected by his own family, right? Then rejected by culture and society, the Egyptians, where he was working. And he became a shepherd, which, by the way, was really looked down upon as the dirty, gross job by the Egyptians. And he's hanging out the backside of the desert, you know, in Montana, just doing his own thing. All right, so he thought he was a has-been, a washed-up. And he was just running the clock in his life. Anybody relate? Come on. All right. So God gave Moses a fresh start at the age of 80. 80 years old. Did you know God can use you at any age? So don't tell me I'm old. Old age is just a construct. It's just a number. 39. Living this one out, okay? So God through his grace, God through his loving mercy and his grace, said, hey, Moses, I'm going to take your mess. I'm going to take you out of this. I'm going to use you to help people. So Exodus chapter 3, 1 through 4. So it says, Moses was shepherding his flock with his father-in-law. And let's see, he was in the desert and he was doing his own thing. And out of the corner of his eye, he saw something. It said, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire blazing out in the middle of a bush. He looked and the bush was blazing away, but it didn't burn up. And Moses said, now I will turn aside and see this great sight. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside, God called him. We can get busy, 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 busy with our own life, surviving, taking care of us four and no more. And God's tugging at our heart, trying to catch your attention. You see maybe someone by the street corner with a sign, and we judge them. We don't know their story. And God says, I want you to give, and I want you to help them out. I want you to get him a coat. I want you to get him a sleeping bag. And I want you to get him a meal. I'm busy, 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 busy. Life is messy. God moves through his people. Amen? What would happen if Moses was too busy to go turn aside and go investigate, see what is the Lord saying right now? He would have missed the greatest adventure of his life. But guess what? God is always full of second, third, fourth, fifth chances. Read the Bible. It's in there. All right. So first of all, God reveals himself to you when you draw near to him. God draws near to you, right? Put some time aside every day. Just open up your Bible and go, God, what does this mean to me? What scripture jumps off the page that I can act on in my life? And when he reveals himself to you, he becomes your friend. He gives you an assignment to represent Jesus on this earth and help people out. All right. And he told Moses, hey, I'm going to use you, and I want you to go tell Pharaoh. I want you to go stand before this king, this powerful person, and tell them to let all the slaves go so they can go worship me. And Moses is like, are you serious? First of all, please go find someone else. Okay? All right. So Exodus 4, 10 through 13, Moses raised objection, excuse, excuse, excuse. How many people, when God tells you to do something, you have a bazillion excuses besides myself? I ran from God and hid for 10 years. That is called a decade of my life. But it's okay. When you're ready to say yes, he'll catch you up. He said, good God, please, I don't talk well. I've never been good with words. How many people say, I'm not good with words, I don't talk well, I have a stutter, I failed public speaking, I took an F in the class so I wouldn't have to do the speech. All right. So God will do what with your excuses? He will totally override them. He said, good, you'll need me. All right, so God says this. This is Exodus 4, 10 through 13. He says, well, I'm not good with words, neither before or after you spoke to me. I stutter, I stammer. God sighed. He says, aren't I God? Go on, get going. I'll be right there with you, with your mouth. I'll be right there to teach you what to say. And then he goes, oh God, please send someone else. I like it in the Message Bible. So God will provide words for you. If you're obedient and you go stand before the PTA or the school board or the, I don't know, the city council, I'm not good with words. I don't know what to say. I'm not legally minded. I don't know how to like present this project that we need to do for our community. I don't know how to like, you know, stand up against this curriculum that's being taught to these kids right now. God says, just obey and I will give you the words. I will provide the words. How many people have been in situations where you just started opening up your mouth and talking? You sounded dumb at first, but eventually got really intelligent and they started listening, besides myself. That's how I communicate. Women, we just talk and talk and talk, and eventually it makes sense. All right. So Moses felt totally unqualified, insecure, tons of excuses. But that's when God's grace is made greatest in our weakness, right? That's when he is glorified the most. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:5, we are all qualified in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, I'm qualified in Christ. Moses didn't have a degree. Raise your hand if you don't have a degree. God can use you tremendously. Okay? He didn't have any natural leadership skills. He didn't have the talents that was needed. He just needed God. So no excuses, guys. All right. Exodus 3, 19 through 22. We're going somewhere. All right. The Lord told Moses. We read the Bible so you know you're not in a cult. So I'm like not making it up. Read your Bible. Okay. The Lord told Moses, but I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will reach out with my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles, which I do in the midst of it. And after that, he will let you go. So after it's hard and it gets worse, I'm going to come through. I will give this people such favor in the sight of the Egyptians that when you leave, you will not go away empty-handed. Every Israelite woman will ask for articles of gold and silver and fine clothing from her Egyptian neighbors and from the foreign women in their houses. You will dress your sons and daughters with these, stripping the Egyptians of their wealth. You're going to go through a hard time. It's going to get worse before it gets better, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. But don't give up, because I'm going to provide. I'm going to take care of not just you, your kids. Guys, you may have lost your entire, retirement in an investment, but guess what? God's going to provide for your kids. He's going to provide for their education or their career path, right? You're not going to lose your home. Your home burns down. God's going to provide. Just give him some time. So I want to say this. Your redemption is not complete without divine favor and divine provision. God is our source, right? So God calls you, he equips you, and he will provide for what you need to do, what you're called to do. So if you are called to go into the construction field, God is going to provide what you need. He's going to provide the equipment, the connections, the right employees, right? He's going to provide. All right. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are all in full-time ministry. You got that. Okay. All right. So understanding the vengeance of the Lord creates significant changes in your attitude. Because all of a sudden you get courage going, I'm going to obey God. And he's going to have my back. I'm going to obey God. And I'm going to be bold with love, and God's going to make a way. All right. It will make you courageous to stand before judges, rulers, government officials, and open your mouth and sound stupid at first, and then God just does his thing. Just like Moses before Pharaoh, right? Because the Bible says this in 1 Chronicles 16:22. It says, do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Don't mess with God's family. Someone starts messing with you and your family, oh, we choose compassion, love, and forgiveness really quick, right? New Testament perspective. Because God's going to come in like a flood. But we have to stand in faith. Okay, why does it seem to take so long, and why does it seem to get worse before it gets better? I don't know. It's in the Bible. You read it. It's just not like sugar-coated sunshine and rainbows and unicorns all the time. Life is hard, okay? All right. So Moses obeys God, gives the message, and things get worse. Pharaoh retaliates and makes the back-breaking slave labor even harder. And you're like, seriously, God? I obeyed you, and it got worse. All right. Exodus 7, 1 through 7. I'm just going to read through this quick in the message. I'm going to just read part of it. So God tells Moses, first of all, just look at me. Just look at me. And then he says, Pharaoh is not going to listen to you, but I will have my way against Egypt and bring out my soldiers, my people, the Israelites, from Egypt by a mighty axe of judgment. The Egyptians will realize that I am God, and when I step in, divine intervention, and I will take the Israelites out of this, right? And Moses did exactly what God commanded. By the way, Moses was 80. Did you know Aaron? He gave all these excuses, and God goes, that's okay, I'll build a team. I will put people around you that are good at things that you're bad at. So you can't, by the way, be a lone wolf. If you're in a wolf pack of one, God, come on, y'all. We are a church family. Build your team, right? Aaron was 83. All right. So, by the way, God loves a dramatic turnaround story. He just does. He just likes this. Like, how many people love movies where, you know, like action movies? I was watching an action movie the other day, and it's like impossible, and like the guns are out, and there's like the limp leg with a bullet wound, and like it's not gonna happen. And then the ninja comes out, and then somebody jumps on them, and it's just this dramatic like turnaround. You're like, oh, that was so good. Okay, God loves a dramatic turnaround, impossible story, because it's kind of like he likes wiping the floor with Satan. He just does. He wants to make a public spectacle out of Satan. And also, you remember the story, right? When it seems crazy and impossible and it's really, really bad and the bullet in the leg and you're like, it's not going to happen. God comes in like a flood and you will never forget that story and you'll tell your children and your grandchildren and God gets all the glory. So 2021, guys, dramatic turnaround story if you're in faith for it. Amen? Amen. All right. So I will say this. Remember, parents, do not negotiate with terrorists. Your child is a terrorist sometimes. Okay, we love them. Do not negotiate with terrorists. I'm not a parent. I work with teenagers. I tell parents all the time, you are the boss. You are the king and you are the queen of your castle. You are the boss. Do not give the power to the terrorist child. Okay, or especially your teenager. They will run all over you. All right, so Pharaoh, like Satan, terrorist, don't negotiate with Satan. Don't negotiate with an oppressor, okay? So Pharaoh kind of like realizes God's probably, there's some miracles happening, life's getting uncomfortable, and he's like, how can I cut my losses a little bit and not give them everything? Double recompense, right? So he goes, Exodus 8:25, he said, okay, you tell you what, you can worship your God, just stay in Egypt. I want you to stay in the oppression. I want you to stay, tell you what, you can give your life to Jesus, but I want you to live depressed and full of anxiety your whole life. I am sick and tired where that is a Christian's normal. I have battled with depression. I have battled with panic attacks and anxiety. I have battled with other things I don't have time to talk about. But I am not a victim to that, and that wasn't my whole story, and I'm out of it. I came out of that, right? Don't negotiate with terrorists. Okay. Exodus 10, verse 9, Pharaoh goes, okay, how about this? You can leave your children. You can go worship, but leave your kids here. Did you know Satan wants all the kids out of the public school system that are Christians? He wants all the Christian kids out of public school. Do you know why? Then he can do whatever he wants. And then he can shape culture and tell them stupid things or good ideas. And then they're going to get jobs in the government and run our country and make it really bad for all of us. But if God tells you, listen, there are times, you do whatever God says. If God says homeschool your kid, you homeschool your kid because God told you to do that, right? If God says put him in a Christian school, you do what God told you to do. Everybody's different. But you pray specifically for your child. But no kid left behind, right? We're fighting for every kid from every area of education. But I want to say this, guys. Whew! Don't leave the kids behind in public school. We got to start. Listen, did you know we have legal rights to have Christian gatherings in schools that they can pray together, that they can like have like support systems and things like that? They can actually even have like club time where they can actually talk about the Bible. Spring Grove, I graduated from there, still has an incredible after-school program and during-school program. Okay, so once again, don't negotiate with terrorists. Exodus 10, verse 24. Then he says, leave your animals behind, but you can go. Tell you what, I'm going to take your business. You're going to get out of this with the skin of your teeth, with your life. But I'm going to take your family business. I'm going to take your livelihood. I'm going to take your dream job. Satan will take anything he can get from you. But we have to stand in faith for everything to be restored. Amen? All right. Don't let Satan talk you out of the full promises of God, even if it takes a really long time. I am seeing some promises fulfilled now, and I will see other promises fulfilled whenever it decides to come, whatever means. He does his own. Listen, God always does it in the way that you're like, really, God, that was the way you're going to do it? Not my timing, not what I wanted, but it's way better than I imagined. Okay. Don't settle to just survive. Don't settle. God is our source. He is our provider, right? All right. All right, I'm going to skip through my notes here. So I want to say this. God will provide. He will give provision for the vision he's given you. So Miss Jerl in the back, she has Harvest of Blessings. She has a powerful testimony, if I had 10 minutes. But she and her family went through some things, okay? And Satan tried to take stuff and destroy with poverty mentality and all that jazz. And Jerl goes, God has given me a vision, what, to help other people, to provide for families so they can feed their families with good food and sustenance and not have to stress out. And then God gave you provision for that vision. And he provided what through his church, right? Supernaturally. So we need to provide, right? We need to give to vision that God has given to other people and trust that God's going to do it. But she had to take some action steps. So if God's calling you to start a business, you need to start a business, okay? If God has called you to get you a better job, put your applications out. Tired of praying for people that don't put applications out. Oh, my job's terrible. It's exhausted. When's God to come through? I was like, how many applications you put out this week? Well, I did one like a couple months ago. They're really long. I was like, you gotta, come on. Wisdom, action, faith. Do something. All right. So much to talk about. Oh, Jesus. Okay. We're gonna blow through some notes here. All right. So once we obey and act and do all that we know to do, then we stand in faith and we trust God and we shut our mouths to complaining, panic, anxiety, and fear. Please, don't put it on your social media. All right, Ephesians 6, 13 through 14. It says, therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger. And having done everything that the crisis demands, hello, danger, crisis, okay, we've been there. We stand firm in our place, fully prepared, so be built up in the word, immovable, victorious, so stand firm and hold your ground. Stand firm on God's promises, and you watch God deliver you, provide for you, protect you. Okay. So when Israel was finally ready to leave, we just blew past like 10 plagues. Go back and read the Bible. It's fun. It's drama. Lots of drama. Not boring. Old Testament is really not boring. It's like a soap opera in there. All right. So they finally get to leave Egypt, and God didn't send them on the smooth, easy road. He sent them on the hard, bumpy, long road through the desert. Why, God? I don't know. It's memorable. Okay. It's a good story. So he sends them through the wilderness, and they're still getting delays and opposition. Face another challenge. Now they're smacked up against a wall, against the Red Sea, and they got to figure out how to cross with all these people that have been in slavery for years, for they're not strong swimmers at this point, okay? And on top of that, Pharaoh decides he changes his mind again. And Pharaoh takes his whole army and is racing out to the desert. And the people find out and they panic and then they turn on each other. Hello, church. I'm so tired of churches criticizing each other. You know what? One church is going to handle this pandemic one way. Another church is going to do another way. Not our business, right? Okay, so don't turn on each other. And they're complaining. They're panicking. Oh, my gosh, it's going to be so much worse. Don't you wish God would just beam you? How many Trekkies out there? Like, God, just beam me to the promised land. Boom. Okay, that was easy. 10 years later, through the bumps, through the rocks, through the drama. Okay, thanks, God. That's okay. That's how it works. All right, so they're smacked up against the Red Sea. Moses is coming in. All right, so what happens? God talks to Moses again. Exodus 14, 13 through 15. And he says, do not be afraid. Take your stand. Be firm. Be confident. Undismayed. Don't freak out. Calm yourself. Says, watch the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For those Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. Stay calm. I love these translations. Okay, New Living says, stay calm. No, New King James says, hold your peace. And the English Standard Version says, keep silent. Shut up. Shut your mouth. Please shut your mouth. Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. Don't ruin your miracle. Don't ruin your miracle by like saying, I'm in faith, and then talking stupid stuff and negativity and doom and glamour, or just gossiping about other people. I got to work on it. My mouth gets me in trouble. Do a lot of apologizing. I'm working on it. Okay, here we are. So watch what you say. Do what God has told you to do. Take action, right? Faith without works is dead. Faith without wisdom is dead. I don't have time to preach all the crazy extremes of people that are like believing God and being stupid. I'm believing God's going to provide. Nobody's working. Nobody's applying for jobs, and I'm charging up my credit card. He's going to get us out of this. doing? You're giving us a bad name. Okay, it's not what I'm talking about. Come on, guys, can we laugh a little bit? How many people know people like that? Just don't tell people you're Christian. You make us look crazy. Stop it. Okay. All right. So the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Go forward. Do something. Okay. It says, pick up your staff, whatever's in your hand. If it is a saw, if it is a hammer, if it's like a computer, God has given you tools to use for him, right? Go pick it up and do it yourself. Go to work. Go to your job. All right. People are like panicking over a pandemic and they quit their job and live in their basement with like 50 barrels of like rice. God's going to provide. No, go to your job. Okay, you got a staff in your hand. God's going to provide for you. Stop being stupid. Pick up your staff. Raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea onto dry ground. So Moses obeyed God and did what he could do. What was in his hand? A tool. Okay? He raised up his staff. Okay, and then God, what part of the Red Sea? And, should we just read it? Here we go. Exodus 14. We're going to blow through it real fast. Okay. He says, why is God doing this? Why is he doing the dramatic thing? Why is it taking so long? Why is it so hard? He says, I'm going to use Pharaoh and his entire army to put my glory on display. Dramatic rescue. So that the Egyptians will realize I am the one true God. Says the angel of the Lord that had been leading the camp of Israel now shifted and got behind them. God has your back. When you obey, use wisdom, stand, he will have your back and he's going to protect you from the backstabbers. Okay? By the way, as a Christian, sometimes Christians are backstabbers. Please don't be that Christian. Please own it. Ask for forgiveness. Apologize and be quick to forgive. How many people have been in church a long time and have some backstabbing Christians? Okay. All right, we forgive them. Amen. All right. So the angel of God that had been leading the camp of Israel now shifted and got behind them. The pillar of the cloud that had been in front of them also shifted to their rear. God had their back. And the cloud that was now between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, it enshrouded one camp in darkness, so it protected them so they couldn't see to attack, right? And then flooded the Israelites with light. And then it says, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and God made the sea waters split, and the Israelites walked through the sea onto dry ground, which is an impossible miracle that the ground was dry. So no tires stuck in the mud. All right. And then it says, let's see. So then God causes the Egyptians to panic. They panic. Their wheels get clogged. They get stuck in the mud. And the Egyptians go, run. Run from Israel. God is fighting on their side against Egypt. God said to Moses, stretch out your hands over the sea and the waters will come back over the Egyptians. And Moses stretched his hands out over the sea and it returned back to his place, drowning Pharaoh's army that had chased after Israel. Not one of them survived, but God delivered Israel that day from the oppression of the Egyptians. And Israel realized the tremendous power that God had brought against the Egyptians. The people were in reverent awe before God and trusted in God and his servant Moses. So I'm going to end here. All right, Habakkuk 2:3, let me tell you this. God's justice does not always come in the timing we want. Normally doesn't come in the way you want it, the manner you want it. But God is so good. His timing is perfect. His ways are perfect. And he's going to do better. He promises when you stand in faith, he will work all things together for good. And he's going to work it out better than you ever could have possibly imagined. God has reworked the mess of my life better than I could have ever imagined. Not because I deserved it. I made some stupid mistakes in my life. But because he's good. Because he just loves me. So if you're mad at God because he didn't do it the way that you wanted and the timing that you wanted, you need to get over it. Let it go. Resurrection time, guys. Sometimes you got to just let something die in the graves for God to resurrect it. And to him be all the glory. All right? So Habakkuk 2 verses 3. Everybody stand up. This vision that God has given you for your family, for your marriage, for your career path, for York City, for this nation. It says, this vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. The Message Bible says, it doesn't lie. God is not a God that he would lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. Sign still delivered, right? It will come right on time. So I just want us to just, guys, I just want you to just turn your hearts, close your eyes and turn your hearts to him. Just raise your hands. It's just a point of surrender and receiving. Jesus, thank you for saving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Some people need to forgive themselves because they're beating themselves up for making some big mistakes like Moses. God, I forgive myself for making a mess of some things in my life. God, I forgive people that have attacked me, stabbed me in the back, left me high and dry, even if they were other Christians. I forgive them. God, I forgive this world system that just seems like it's making it impossible for me to provide for my family and do what I'm called to do in life and ministry. Jesus, we bless our enemies. We pray for those that persecute us and use us. God, that they would come to know you, that they would fall down on their knees and say, Jesus, you're it. You're the real deal. You're the Savior. I give my life to you. That our nation is turning around in a dramatic turnaround. To you be all the glory. That we would have a story to tell generation to generation to generation. If it's not good yet, God's not done yet. So stand. Do what he's called you to do. Use what's in your hands and stand in faith. And watch the deliverance of the Lord. Watch him fight your battle. Watch him provide double for your trouble. God, for every person that was ever stolen out of our lives before his time, my own father was stolen. I have loved ones and family. We will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Satan will pay back double for every person that was stolen from us. We thank you for the church family you've given us. Friends, adopted aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters that have made our lives full and rich. The riches that we have in you, Christ Jesus. We are not victims. We are not stuck in grief and despair. You have turned our mourning to dancing. And we celebrate in faith. And thank you for all you've done, all you're doing, and all you will do. We thank you for fulfilling your promises. We thank you for providing. We thank you, Lord. You are the way maker. Our trust is in you. Our eyes are on you. And we love you. So just praise him in your own words. Praise you, Jesus. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for providing for our families. Thank you for your protection. No weapon formed against us, no virus, no economic attack, Lord God. Nothing that comes against us, Lord God. Father, I thank you for protecting us, providing for us. I thank you for your vindication, your justice. We trust you. Let our lives be filled with love. Poured out, overflowing, a sign and a wonder to the world around us. Love, peace, and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Wherever you go, let your life preach the gospel. That means it's good news, amen? All right, we love you guys. See you next week.